I want to show you some pictures of some famous landmarks and monuments, and you tell me if you recognize them this morning. Go ahead and show that first one. Anybody know what that is? The Gateway Arch, right? We used to live in St. Louis for a long time, and that arch is there. They built it because they wanted to honor explorers and those who expanded the West, people like Lewis and Clark, and it's kind of an inspiration to go out into unexplored territory. See if you know this one. Statue of Liberty, right? That's that island that it's on there. Ellis Island was one of the places, or it's called Liberty Island now, I think. That's one of the places that when people came to America, they usually came on ships, especially from Europe. And that was one of they would go there for processing, and that was one of the first things they would see of America was Lady Liberty. The inscription on that statue says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." And that torch is a symbol of freedom, really, all over the world. See if you know this one. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's in Arlington Cemetery. Its purpose is originally and still is to remember and honor those soldiers who've died in service but couldn't be identified. And it really is a testimony, I think, to unsung heroism and courage. We have other, all around the United States, there are other memorials and monuments to remind us, to help us remember what others have done for us, monuments to inspire us when we're in dangerous times, to help us when our hard times come to be heroic and courageous the way that they were. All week long, our children have been learning about how life can be wild, but God is still good. They've been walking through the stories of Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt. And God sent Moses, you remember, or you've seen Charlton Heston in the movie, right? And God frees his people, and they come out of bondage, and he takes them to a place called the Promised Land. He rescues them, and they went through some difficult times when they were enslaved and in bondage. But God was still good in the midst of all that. And when he freed his people, when they left Egypt, they traveled many miles to a place called the Promised Land. It was called that because that's the place that God promised he would give to them. Now, there were other people already living there, and these people were evil. And so God told them, said, "Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to help you when you get there. I know these other folks are living there, but they're wicked, and I'm going to help you to kind of evict them from that land, and I'm going to give you that land, and I'm going to help you do that." Well, they got scared because the people there were big, and they didn't trust God. And so they decided, well, we're scared. We want to go back. And so they wandered for 40 years in a desert. 40 years. Can you imagine wandering around for 40 years in a desert? No internet, no cell phone coverage. I mean, there they are out in the middle of nowhere until all the people who had said no to God had actually passed away. And so then God raised up another leader. His name was Joshua. And so Joshua, God says to Joshua, "I'm going to help you lead my people into the Promised Land and give to them what I want them to have, a home of their own, a place where they can raise their family, a place where they can, you know, the abundance of the land, they can live off of that. And so I'm going to give that to you, but you've got to trust me. So get the people ready to go." And so Joshua goes and he gets all the people ready to go. They're going to have to go over this river. Now, this river didn't have any bridges over it. And as you probably, it's kind of like Kansas and Missouri and other places today, it was flooded. The river was at flood stage, and the water was fast, and it was deep, and it was all over the place. And so you got to be thinking, there were a million people. Imagine trying to get a million people over this large, huge, flooding river. How would you ever do that? And God said, "I'm going to take care of it." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the priest, and I want them to carry the ark, which represented his presence in their lives, and I'm gonna help you walk across on dry ground." And so Joshua, he got all the people ready, got some guys to carry the ark, and sure enough, the minute their feet hit the water, the river started parting, it stopped flowing, and it started to build up like a big wall. And the priests went out and they stood in the middle of the riverbank, and it was dry. It wasn't muddy. It was dry. And a million people, you imagine how long it would take for a million people to walk across. And they walked across on dry ground. And God told Joshua, he says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Before those guys come out of the water and we close up the river and the river starts to flow again, I want you to get 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, and I want them to go out there and I want them to get a big rock, a big boulder, put it on their shoulder, and I want you to bring it over here to this side, and we're going to set that up as a memorial. So that's what Joshua tells the people. And it says in Joshua 4, verse 4, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. And he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God, and each of you must pick up a stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Now, why would God want them to build a memorial? Because he knew that there were going to be other hard times in their life. He knew there were going to be other difficult days. He knew they were going to have more troubles and more difficulties. And in those moments, he wanted them to have a physical reminder to remind them what God had done, that God had come through for them, and that he could come through for them again. He wanted a physical reminder that they had known bondage and they'd known slavery and they'd been destitute without a home and they were suffering. But God kept his promise to them to take care of them. He'd met their needs. He'd broken those chains of bondage. He'd given them a home when they were homeless. He kept his promise. And when things were hard, God was right there for them. It was a physical reminder that they had faced a raging river. They had faced floodwaters that would sweep anybody away, but God had made a way through the flood. He dried up muddy ground. He held back the water so they could come through. God kept his promise. And God wanted a physical reminder of what he had done so they could tell that story and be reminded again and again. Because you know what happens to us, right? When we have hard times, you know what we do? We tend to focus on whatever's difficult. We tend to focus on whoever's being unfair to us. We tend to focus on whoever's hurting us. We tend to focus on the injustice. We tend to focus on the need. We tend to focus on what's wrong instead of focusing on the one who can handle that for us. We tend to focus on the stuff around us. And so you know what happens? We let the flood of despair and frustration come in. When we focus on that stuff, we get our feet stuck in the muddy waters of fear and doubt and despair. And we forget that the God who brought us through before will bring us through again. We forget that the God who promised to never leave us or forsake us has not abandoned us. That he can and he has overcome the world and he will overcome it for us. We forget that he will keep his promise. We need reminders, memorials, piles of stone to help us remember what God can do, to inspire us to have hope, to fill us with confidence that God can do it again. My grandmother had one of those things. One day, I was an adult, and me and my dad and her were in her garage. Now, my grandmother's house, the garage was attached, but the garage floor was dirt. And so it was pretty rudimentary. You could look up in the ceilings, and there were rafters. You could see the rafters, and they had stuff stuck up there. And I don't know what we were looking for, but I looked up in my grandmother's rafters, and stuck up there in the rafters was a small crutch. It wasn't very big at all. And I asked my grandmother, I said, Mama, what is that? And my dad looked up at it, and I could already tell he was agitated. And you see, my dad, when he was a boy, the age of some of you guys this morning that were up here singing, my dad started feeling numbness in his left leg. And they took him to the doctor, and my dad, he turned 79 in April. And I said, wow, it's a big accomplishment, Dad. He said, oh, it's not that big a deal. I just kept breathing. But you know, those of you that might be my dad's age, you remember in the late 40s, early 50s, polio was a big deal. And so they thought my dad might have polio, so they put him in the hospital for 3 days, did all kinds of tests and everything else. And they decided that my dad they didn't think that he had polio, so they did some more tests. Come to find out, in his left leg, there is some tissue that joins your femur to your hip, and it was missing in my dad's leg. It had deteriorated, and it was gone. And the doctors told my grandparents, they said he should never put weight on that leg because he could knock it out of socket and break something, and so he should always, he's going to be crippled the rest of his life. That's terrible when you're, you know, when you're in fourth grade, right before my dad's fourth grade year. So my dad, for fourth grade, fifth grade, and half of sixth grade, was on a crutch. He couldn't run, he couldn't play sports, he couldn't chase girls. I did that in fourth grade. But anyway, he couldn't do anything that a normal kid could do. And he would go to the doctor every 6 months, and so they just thought, well, this is it. My dad's going to always have to have a crutch for his left leg. Well, one of his six-month appointments in the middle of the sixth grade, they went, and the doctor looked at him and examined him. They did tests. That tissue, whatever it was, had grown back. And they were amazed. And the doctor looked at my dad and said, you can get rid of that crutch. Throw it away. And here's the thing. My dad said it was really weird to walk after like almost, 3 years off of it. And my dad, when he saw that crutch, you know what it reminded him? It just reminded him of all the pain that he went through for 2.5 years. Reminded him of all that he got denied, of all that got taken away from him, of how hard it was to make friends when you're disabled like that. But to my grandmother, she saw something completely different. My dad said, Mother, why did you keep that? Here's what my grandmother said. Because every time I look at it, I remember how God healed you. I remember how good God was to us. Amen. What was to my dad this thing of pain was to my grandmother a reminder every day that even when she went, other times that they had hard times, other times they couldn't make ends meet, other times they faced challenges in life, my grandmother could look at that crutch and go, I know God is good. He has been in the past, and he will be again. He will take care of me. He took care of us then. He will take care of us in the future as well. And you and I, in our lives, need to have some reminders that when we go through tough stuff, that when we go through difficult things, to remind ourselves that although the river may be flowing hard and it may be in a flood stage, that God is still good and he'll get us to the other side if that's where we need to go. That even though things may be difficult, that our God who's come through before will come through again. I can make it today. Sometimes we live in the pain, right? But Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh, and he said, here's the thing. God didn't take it away, but God gave me the grace every day to live in it. God gave me the strength every day to face it so I could still live and have victory. God's still on the throne this morning, and God still got you. And although everything around us may be bad, God is still good. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is Isaiah 43. I forgot to put verse 1 on here. I'm going to read verse 1 before I read what's on the screen. This is God talking. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I have ransomed you. You are mine. God loves you, and he cares for you, and God keeps his promise. And this morning, if you're not a Christian and you're here today, maybe you don't follow Jesus, I'll tell you one of the greatest monuments that we have for all of us is that one right there. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing this morning, no matter who you are and where you are or what's going on in your life, every time you see that cross, you ought to be reminded, God loves me. He loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for me so I can be forgiven, so that I can have a relationship with him. God loves me. No matter what, no matter where, God loves me. He sent Jesus for me. And this morning you say, well, I don't really have any stories of things in the past. You've got that one. If you've got nothing else this morning to know, that no matter what you're going through, that no matter what's happening in your life, God loves and cares for you. And if you embrace what he did on the cross as being for you, if you let what Jesus did there count for you, and ask God to forgive your sins, he will come in and he will rescue you from your greatest enemy of all. Will you bow your heads this morning and pray with me? God, it is so good to know that when life is wild, you are good. I want to pray right now, Father, for that person here who feels overwhelmed this morning, who feels like the floodwaters are crashing in on them, who feels like everything around them is going wrong. God, would you this morning, right now, as they open their heart and life to you, would you remind them that you are right there in the midst of it with them? That you have claimed them, you have ransomed them, they are yours. And when they pass through the waters, you're there. And when they go through the rivers, they will not be swept away. That as they go through the fire, they will not be burned. But you, Father, you, Lord, are right there with them in the midst of it all. And you are good. And you are working for their good. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you just talk to God. If you've got a struggle this morning, would you just give it to him? God, here's my thing this morning. I want to hold on to your promise today. That situation may not be good, but I look at that, Father, and I give it to you this morning. And I know you're good, and I know you've got it. So I entrust it into your hands this morning. God, would you fill us with hope? God, would you fill us with peace? Would you fill us with courage today to trust you? Lord, I pray for those this morning that may not know you as Lord and Savior of their life. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I would just invite you to pray with me. Father, thank you for speaking to me today. I know because of the cross that you love me, that Jesus died for me. And more than anything else this morning, I want to let what Jesus did for me on the cross for me count. I want all my sin to be put under the blood of Jesus so that I can be free today, so that I can follow you. I make a decision this morning to follow Jesus. I love you, Lord. I'll need your help to do it. May you lead me and guide me in these days, in Jesus' name. Father, this morning, Lord, today we give ourselves to you. Life is wild, but our God is good. We declare it again and again. Thank you this morning for what we've heard through our children, and thank you for the week that we've had. I thank you for the children this week who've given their hearts and lives to you. We rejoice in the kingdom being brought to light in our lives and in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.